Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap.
Good morning. Welcome to our internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We're in for a great time this morning. We have a guest on the show this morning that I'm very excited about. I heard this young man gifting as he presented God to our brothers and sisters that I was blown away here. And I would like to present to you at this time, he's on the phone line right now, Brother Andrew. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome aboard, brother. Welcome aboard.
Hey, man. I'm glad to be here this morning. It's a great day for the Lord, isn't it?
Well, God bless you. Hey, brother, I tell you what, introduce yourself and then tell us about the gift that God have laid to your hands to do.
Well, my name is Brother Andrew Grant. We met the other day, you know, not on the street, and, you know, like you were saying, God's kind of giving me a gift to preach the gospel, take the gospel into the world. And that's what I've been doing for a while now. And that's what I get pleasure and joy in, is taking the gospel to the world, being able to share the good news that Jesus gave his life, that we might have life, brother. So, you know, that's where I am right now, doing the will of God. You know, the Bible says we got to be busy about his business while it's day, because Jesus said when it's night, no man can work. So I'm just trying to get my work done before he comes back.
Amen, amen. And we're going to take a moment here. If anyone would like to call and join into the conversation, the number would be 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. Now, my brother, now you have a very unique gift that God has blessed you with, man. You was telling me about it, and I was blown away. Now, where do you go and share your gospel?
Well, basically, brother, I'm all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area, different places. I do mainly street ministry, downtown Dallas, downtown Fort Worth, in the neighborhoods there. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, in a place they call Stop 6. You know, for a long time, and still probably today, Stop 6 was a pretty, very rough area. And that's where I grew up, and when I accepted the Lord Jesus, I was still living there, and I began to seek the Lord. What do you want me to do? And God began to show me the situation, you know, where I lived, and began to move on me to take this word to the world, you know, because I saw a lot of young men, young women being destroyed by the devil, you know, being taken advantage of by the enemy. And, you know, I saw the drugs, of course. I saw the gang violence that was taking place in my neighborhood. And I said, well, Lord, you know, I believe your word has helped me. I believe it'll help others. So he began to deal with me to take the word out to the street, you know, not just in the church. But, you know, we was commissioned. I read in there where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's what got me started preaching. And like I said, I'm still doing it almost 20-some years later. Still preaching the gospel to as many people I can find that will listen.
Amen, amen. And, you know, that street ministry is a challenge, man, you know, because as you're sharing the gospel, man, you know that the word is powerful and is able to change life. But people just be like going about their business, man. How do you get that boldness to be able to proclaim the word of God on the street corner, man? Because some people have a problem just sharing it, you know, in private. How do you get that boldness, man?
Well, I mean, I guess looking back when I first got started, I mean, I guess, you know, first of all, the first thing, I believe it had a lot to do with, you know, the Holy Spirit being in my life. I grew up in a traditional church, and they didn't talk much about the giftings of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives you power to become witnesses. Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And when I began to read the Bible and understand that there was an enablement from the Lord that will enable us to be bold, as you say, to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel with power, that's what probably I say in my life has made the difference. Because, you know, I hadn't been to Bible college or school or anything like that. I just had a relationship with the Lord, and I knew what he had done for me. And then after I was filled with the Spirt, I feel, you know, God gave me that boldness to take the gospel to the world.
And you know, go right ahead. Go right ahead, bro.
No, I was just, you know, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I believe we cannot be as effective as we should be, or we could be, without his empowering or his anointing. Because Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." So I believe God gives us ability beyond our normal natural ability, a supernatural ability to do the things of God if we'll be open to it and say, "God, I want everything that you have for me."
And, you know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, man, because it's a God-given ability, man. And it's available for all of us, man. All those that have been born again, man, we have that same God-given ability. You know, I do jail ministry, man. I go down there and these brothers are all pumped up. They tattooed from the floor up, you know. And so I go down there and I share that with God, man. I had to fall to their knees and they crying like babies, man, because the gospel was being presented to them, man. You know, even in their worst condition, man, they ain't think that they can ever be saved and feel the presence of God, man. But they feel the presence of God, man, because you have that boldness proclaim that you serve a living and risen Savior, man. And you say, hey, that same power is available for you today.
Amen. And we still have the same power that the disciples had. You know, people say that's Bible days, but Bible days are today. Amen.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know, I get such a blessing out. I share this with the brothers in jail and wherever I go from time to time about in the book of Acts, the third chapter, how the disciples were still doing the ministry after Jesus was gone. They still had that same power that they seen Jesus do to, you know, to heal the sick, you know, to give strength to the lame. And this man was sitting there by this gate every day called Beautiful. But he was in a bad situation. And I tell him, you know, sometimes we be in a jail and streets seem like it's a bad situation, but you're in a beautiful location because God is ever present, brother.
Hallelujah. That's good news. He's even present in that jail cell. I don't care where you are. He can reach you because I know he reached me in my bedroom, and that was part of my testimony I didn't share, that I accepted Christ in my bedroom on my knees. I was reading the Word of God, and it began to convict my heart. And I read what Jesus said: "What does it profit a man to gain the world, but then lose his soul?" And I was heavily in the world. I was in a band, hoping to, like a lot of young people, hoping to be famous one day and enjoy all the things of this world that come along with being famous. But, you know, the Word of God said, "What did it profit a man to gain the world but then lose his soul?" And a young lady had been witnessing to me, you know, and that's what, you know, that's why I preach, because somebody witnessed to me. Somebody shared the gospel with me and told me, "Andrew, you need Jesus in your life. You got a lot of things, but you don't have the Lord," you know. And I thought I did because I went to church all my life, but I found out just going to church doesn't mean you have a relationship with the Lord. And as I began to read the Bible and study the Bible as well as I could, and that's a faith act there, just picking the Bible up and reading it, God began to deal with my heart. And one morning I got up, I said, "I can't continue in this road. Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to gain the world but lose my soul." And asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life right there. And life has never been the same since.
Amen, amen. Now tell me that as you go out and you on the street corners in Dallas and Fort Worth or wherever God leads you, what kind of reception or response are you having? Just while I listen, I know what it's like, but just me and you talking, let them know how the gospel is able to affect the lives of men and women.
Well, you know, well, of course, we see a lot of great things, see God do a lot of great things on the street. A lot of people's lives are touched, you know, see miracles happen. We also see opposition as well. You know, we see some people who would rather us not be on the street corners or on the streets sharing the gospel, who, you know, and, I, you know, Jesus said, if they love me, they'll love you. But if they, you know, they hated me, they'll hate you as well. So, you know, that's to be expected when you're preaching the gospel. You know, either people receive you or there are some who will not receive you. Matter of fact, some will let you know that they don't receive you and say some words to you that, you know, they would think would discourage you. But it just encourages me to keep preaching the gospel, you know, when someone is like that or, you know, because I know in time, you know, that even though they didn't receive it then, they'll remember somebody tried to share the word with them.
And, you know, and that is so true, and I'm glad that you did share that, because we have to realize that there is the enemy is out there seeking who he may devour. And he tries to scare you and intimidate you. You know,
yeah.
That's what I think so much that I go down to the jail and I have to walk through the through their living dorms, man, and these brothers be all pumped up. They look at all that me, and I just show them the Bible, and I said, Jesus, you know.
Hallelujah.
You know, hallelujah. Intimidate you, you know. So, you know, we have to have that boldness. And those things, you know, we do have those difficulties. But, Andrew, how do you learn to manage your discomforts in the midst of sharing the gospel in the enemy's territory?
Well, I, at this time, I don't really get, distressed about any of those things that happen. I mean, sometimes I expect it, but to be honest with you, when I go to the street, I expect there to be some opposition. I mean, I pray that, you know, God gives us peace when I'm on the street or, you know, when I'm with a group or whatever, that you know, we bind the works of the enemy. But you know, inevitably, you know, Jesus said in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So
yes.
I go with the attitude that I have victory no matter what shows up down there, you know, where I'm going. I believe God's going to be with me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? You know,
amen.
And that he's going to be with me, and he's going to take care of me. I mean, I'm a faith preacher, brother. I believe in standing by faith, you know, and Psalms 91 says, you know, he shall give his angels charge over thee. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So I believe, I stand on the word that God is going to be with me. His angels will be there to take care of me. I'm just going to be about his business and get the work done no matter what. You know, who don't like it? I'm sorry you don't like it. I'm going to preach the word of God. I've had people come to me. Young man came to me one day. I was on a certain corner there in Fort Worth, and he said, no, we don't want to have that here today. I'm going to go up here to my house and get my gun, and I'll be back. And I said, well, you just go get your gun. I'm going to be right here until I get through preaching, because God told me to preach here, and I'm going to finish preaching, and that's when I'm going to leave. And I said, if you feel like you need to whatever you're going to do, I said, you know, God is able to raise up another preacher. If you feel like you can't kill the Lord, and I don't fear you who can kill the body, but I fear him that after he's killed the body, Jesus said, can cast into hell. So I'm just going to stick with God. Thank God he didn't come back. So I just had to stay on the ground. Hallelujah. And just believe God that he was going to be with me no matter what.
Oh, that is so true, there, brother. Thank you. And you know, that's the purpose of our show. That's the name of our show: being free on the inside, being free to do the things that God laid on our heart. Now, before we open up the phone line, we have our co-host on the line here. She's going to come on in a few minutes. But tell our listening audience as they think about what you're saying, that they can also call in at numbers 310-982-4126. Tell us, how did you get to this point? Because you didn't always do street ministry, man. What was laid on your heart to say, hey, I want to go out here, come what may, and share the gospel? How did you get the boldness to just go out and do the street ministry?
I mean, it was the word of God that in my life, and just knowing what God, like I said, how God has saved me, just the realization that, you know, without Christ, I'm lost, or anyone who doesn't have Jesus in their lives are actually lost and on the way to hell. And, you know, just the seeing the condition of, like I said, first starting out in my neighborhood, and then just seeing the condition of the world today and knowing that the good things that God has for us, and so many people are missing the blessings of God. They're missing the blessings that God wants to have in their lives because of, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I just have a compassion for people God has placed in my heart to just take this knowledge of a better life, of a good life in Christ, and a safe life, you know, because like you said, a lot of young men locked up in jail right now who didn't have to go to jail. And maybe if someone like me or you could have reached them before, excuse me, before they had made a decision to do something that got them in that place, maybe, you know, their lives could be a little bit better. And I just don't want to hear the Lord, you know, when I stand before him, you know, say, you know, Andrew, you could have done so much more. And I know we all probably could, but I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you know. And that motivates me to take this word out to the world, because I want to please God and not man. I'm not concerned about what man thinks about me. I'm concerned about what the Lord thinks.
And that is so true. You know, Andrew, after this session, I do a juvenile ministry a couple of times a month. I'm going to go over to the juvenile center after this here, and I share with the young men and where they're at, because a lot of them are seeking the riches of this world, and I share with them what profit a man, you know, what benefit it is to have all the cars, the clothes, and the honeys, you know, and yet they lose their freedom. And, you know, and I say, hey, you're in here. You lost your freedom. Somebody else is out there doing it. And then how you're breaking people's heart, because we have to realize the sin that we seek after and the sin that's attached to it. It affects other people's lives. You know, it affects other people's. And, you know, and God wants us to be a blessing not only to the kingdom, but to our family, friends, and loved ones. I think so much of how Rahab said, hey, I don't just want to have a relationship with this God, Israel. I want my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. And, brother, and I see that you have a grasp on that. But I wanted to know, how did you get involved in this? What was the first thing that you, who did you get with in order to do the street ministry? Because we have other people that say, I would like to do that, but I just don't know how. Did you go out with someone, or how did you actually get started in doing the street ministry? Because someone needs to hear that, because they may have a desire to do that, those things. So get them some kind of pointers on how to get involved in doing that. If you know, with a group or alone, I like to go with people. But you share your experience on how you actually got involved in the street ministry.
Like I said, after being saved, I guess I started witnessing. I guess street ministry starts by your testimony, your witnessing to others. Because, you know, really that's all you're doing on the street, you're witnessing. But it's kind of on a bigger scale. But, I mean, there were some people who did encourage me. There was a couple of street ministers in Fort Worth that, you know, I never knew anybody that preached outside of the church growing up. But then after I was saved and I began to go out and witness and just doing what the Word of God said, doing what Mark 16 said, go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. When I got saved, brother, I just read the Word and took it for what it said. And I'm just kind of that kind of person. I believed it, and so I said, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. I said, Lord, I mean, it was in the Bible, and I had really never read the Bible before, but when I began to read the Bible, I found a lot of things that I had never been told, even though, I went to church, but there were some things that I began to find out that was in the Bible that nobody was talking about reaching the world and reaching the lost and how we are ambassadors for Christ. And I said, well, Lord, I want to do my part. And so that I was motivated by the Lord. But there were some other people who, like I said, Brother Chris Haddon, now this man is 70 years old. He still preaches the gospel almost 3-4 times a week there in Fort Worth. Some of y'all listening might see him. He's the brother that has a cowboy hat on, you know, to be down on Barry and Riverside and some other places there in Stop 6, all over. Just preaching the gospel there in Fort Worth, and I fellowship with him still. I've known him, you know, for years, and he's, like I said, he's 70 years old, and it'll be 2:00 in the evening on a hot summer day. He's standing out there preaching the gospel, so he motivated me definitely to continue doing what I was doing. And we kind of encourage one another as well. But yeah, just I guess Brother Chris Hatter, there was another gentleman who's passed away now, Brother Harris, who preached with him back then, back in the, I guess I'd say the late 80s, early 90s, that, you know, just kind of encouraged. They allowed me as a young man, I was driving by one day, and I was already out witnessing and sharing the gospel as much as I could. I believe the first place I preached, when I asked God, I said, you know, he said, go preach. I said, Lord, where do I go? And he said, I feel like the Lord's talking to me, wherever you can. And I began to meditate, and there happened to be a dope house that I knew about that was right down the street. So I went down there and started preaching in front of the dope house. And
as a boldness, man.
Well, you know, I was crazy about Jesus. You know, I was like, Pa, we are fools for Christ. I was a fool for the world. I acted up in the world and did all I could do in the world. And I said, well, Jesus, you know, I acted a fool in the world. I'm going to be a fool for you. I'm going to go down here and preach this word as best I can in front of this drug house and share the gospel with people. Of course, I got opposition, you know. When I started, I remember one night a young man came out and he said, why are you out here preaching? You know, and it was pretty late, and it was just a couple of people coming through at that time. But, you know, when they drive up and they hear me preaching, some they look like, and some of them would just drive off because, you know, they was coming through getting.
You were
and so he came
business.
Out because I was messing up some business. So he came out and started, what you doing out here? You know, man, I could shoot you, and I said, yeah, you could, but I'm just going to do what the Lord tells me to do, and I'm gonna finish doing what I'm doing, you know. And then, you know, he said, well, who out here? This time it was just me and him. And I said, well, you out here. And then he kind of looked. He said, yeah, I guess you're right. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you, man, and this ain't the way, you know, he wants your life to be right now. He has a better plan for you. And, you know, I think he listened a little bit that night, but, you know, he wasn't happy about me messing up his business out there. But, you know, God's always been faithful. He's been faithful to his word, been with me thick and thin. Even when I was doing some stuff I might not have should have been doing, you know, I mean, I just did it by faith. And but God, you know, he gives us wisdom how to preach this gospel, how to share it, how to take it to the world.
Oh, brother, that's powerful. Man, what a powerful testimony. What a powerful take on the gospel. As you were sharing that, I was just smiling because I, too, have encountered some difficulties in the ministry. And that boldness, man, that keeps, you know, that gift that comes from God, man, being free on the inside, you know. And Andrew, I sense you have that freedom, man. Come what may, man, that you're not going to stop proclaiming the gospel, man. And that's what people need to hear, man, that gospel. And like I was asking you about how did you get started. Sometimes we just have to start right where we are. And I was glad to hear that. You don't take a whole lot of education or Bible knowledge. You just have to know that Jesus is love. You know, because the disciples say, wait a minute. They ask the disciples, wait a minute, what school did you go to? I went to school here and I went to school there, but I don't know your name on anybody's books, you know.
Come on, brother.
But the word was so powerful that they couldn't deny it, man. And, you know, we never know the hearts that's going to be affected by the gospel, brother. You know, sometimes God will give us a glimpse of things. You know, I see juvenile kids that I talk to, and I give Bibles out, a little pocket Bible. One day I was at the store, and this little kid said, I know you. And I said, well, I come to here. He said, no, I know you somewhere else. And he said, you've been out to the juvenile, and look, and you gave me this. And he pulled out this little pocket Bible. 2 years old, man. I was 2 years later, he pulls out the Bible, you know. I gave it to him, and he said, man, I still hold on to that Bible you gave me, man. I said, man, that word is intact. That word that you holding on to is rooted firmly in your heart. And I know it is because he's still holding on to it. And so we never know. We never. I tell you what, we're going to take a minute here. We're going to open up the phone lines here because I would like for other people to just give you some kudos or just encourage you and maybe just ask you a question or two. Hey, thank you very much for being a guest. We go to our first line opener is going to be to Brother Daniel. He's our co-host. Brother Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Big Luke.
Hey, brother, we have a great interview here with Andrew on the line. He's talking about street ministry, brother. He actually go out on the street, on the corners. He posts up. And he shared the gospel.
Yeah, I've been listening. You were talking about the boldness. It takes a lot of nerve and a lot of boldness to do that. Because there's a lot of opposition. It's a lot of opposition when people really accepting that, you know. Jesus told his disciples to go out and preach the word. But it seems like people really, they don't have the time right now to do it because they are all engrossed with everything else they're doing in life.
I tell you what, man, we're gonna go back to him if you don't have any questions. We got another guest that's coming up here in a minute. So we got another section of our show here. Is there anything you'd like to ask Brother Andrew? I just said thank you and encourage him to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, like Brother Andrew, what is the most thing you have found that seems to be oppressing people or young people nowadays? You know, I'll put it like that. What device or activity you see today seems to be oppressing our young youth?
Our young people?
Yeah.
Are you? Man, I guess as far as, the biggest thing is going to be, of course, the culture, the young culture and the music right now is, encouraging a lot of young people to, get involved in things like drugs or premarital sex, things like that, that I believe that is a big influence on our youth today, the music industry. Would love to see more positive musicians out there who would, even if they not coming, if they not doing it for the Lord, at least be positive with their music. But so many today, that's all they talk about is drugs, sex, violence, things like that. And I think it has a great impact on our youth because young people, they like music. They if anything, they're gonna listen to some music, and the music is giving them some bad messages. That they don't really understand that how it's going to affect their lives in the long run. I don't know how many young men I've talked to who, might be incarcerated, I realize now that the lifestyle I was trying to live was just a deception, but I didn't realize it when I was involved in it, because I was so heavily into this illusion of being a thug or a gangster or whatever, mm-hmm. that it drug them down to a point where they made so many bad decisions that it landed them in jail. And sometimes it's a blessing to be in jail because it's better than being dead, because that's the two places it takes you. So at least in jail you got a chance to make some decisions and maybe get your life in order, before that time comes where you do have to leave this world and stand. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. So we want to be ready when we die, for the judgment.
Amen. Brother Daniel, won't you just hold on a minute? We're gonna let Brother Andrew, we're gonna let him wrap this segment, this portion of our show. And then we got another guest that's coming on, okay? And then we'll just come right on back. So we're going to let Andrew have the last words here. Now, my dear brother, thank you once again, man, for being a guest on the show, man. You truly, truly have been an inspiring guest, man. I have been blown away since you said yes to being a guest on the program. As we get ready to depart here, we'd like you to just share some words of comfort to those that say, hey, I want to do this here. I want to be able to share the gospel. I want that freedom, man, that comes from Jesus. Encourage us, man.
Right. Well, brother, I'm looking at my word this morning. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, I just want to encourage anybody, start with Jesus. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it goes on to say, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So I just want to encourage you, keep looking to Jesus. He's our example. We see how he endured the cross. despising the shame. He went through some shame. And sometimes when you're preaching the gospel, you know, people want to talk bad about you or say bad things about you. But, you know, it says consider him. He had contradiction. And he said, don't faint. So I'm just going to encourage you, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Whatever God puts on your heart to do, just do it. The Bible says, do whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. God's going to bless it if you just stay, you know, stand fast and don't faint. One scripture says, we shall receive reward if we faint not. So we got to just keep on going no matter what. Stay in prayer. God will strengthen you, and he'll be with you, and he'll protect you.
Hey, that is so true. That is so true. Those are truly words of wisdom that you just spoke to me and the listening audience. Because you know what? I feel like I need to hear that too, man. Because as we go out, we're being challenged at every turn, man. But we have to realize that God is greater than anything that we ever can face, man. And I thank you for doing what you do, brother. You know, because when I was a young man, we grew up, that as I used to ride the bus downtown, you see these brothers, street corner evangelists, man, and they be down there, they be shouting, they be praising God, and right. People be looking at them, and some of them be marking them, and some of them be listening. And we never know, man. Paul experienced that, man. And Paul said, right. I went out, and some people loved it, some people hate me, some people said, tell me more. And we never know the people that are listening in the crowd. You know, Andrew, when you're sharing the gospel, some people going to tell you they don't want to hear this. Some people going to tell you, I'm too busy, man. I got places to go and things to do. And some people yet going to say, brother, tell us more about this Jesus you're talking about.
Hallelujah.
And so keep doing what you're doing, brother. This is I tell you what, somebody know about you in Jesus' name. They know your heart and your passion, man. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this morning. Hopefully I said something that will encourage somebody. And, you know, we just all got to keep on doing the work of the ministry. You know, keep on doing what God's called us to do. I'm not you and you're not me. We all have different gifts and different callings. So, you know, just be faithful in the area where you are, and, you know, God's going to bless you, and he's going to be with you.
Amen. Well, God bless you. I tell you what, we'd love for you to be a guest on our show at a later date, and so we're looking forward to having you to come back and keep connected with what's going on in the life of the ministry on the street, brother. Because I believe in the street, jail, prison, and the church house ministry, man, because they all is affected in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Well, God bless you. You have a great day, and continue to lift us up in prayer, okay?
All right, you too, brother. Thank you again for having me on the show. God bless you.
God bless you. Great. What a great interview that we had there with our dear brother. Amen. Brother Andrew there, talking about our street, talking about his street ministry. He truly has been a blessing. We want to thank him for his time and his patience being on the program here. We're going to go into the next segment of our program here with Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Well, man, what a great interview that we had there with our dear brother. And then we got another guest that's coming up here in a few minutes here, man.
Okay.
And he's going to continue to share with us the goodness of God. Now, what's been going on with you there, Brother Daniel?
Basically, I've just been studying the Word and just trying to just get stronger in the Lord.
Amen. That is so true. That is so true. And, you know, and as you talk about being stronger in the Lord, man, what have you you read any scriptures or anything to encourage us today about what's going on in the Word of God? And as you think about that, we call up our next guest.
Prayer line, fellowship, and encourage words. God bless.
Amen. We say our guest is not
available
right now.
Please record your message when you
He's not available right now, so we're going to call back again. Now, Brother Dan, you got a poem for us.
Well, I got a scripture for you.
Okay, we got our guest here on the line this morning here. Let's see. No, he's not there. Okay, yes, okay. Go right ahead.
Scripture is John 6:51. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.
Amen.
6:51. Yeah, he's living. He's a living word.
Hey, man, that's powerful. I tell you what, Brother Dan, we got our guest on the line here. Hold on to that thought, bro. We're going to bring you right back with that.
Okay.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Eddie. Welcome to our program, brother.
All right. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Oh, man, I'm excited. I'm fired up for the Lord. Man, we had a great guest on this morning, man. Brother Andrew was talking about the street ministry, man, and I'm blown away because, you know, I was a part of that street ministry, man. Some people came and encouraged me, man, when I was dirty and didn't have no shoes on my feet, man. They were feeding me and telling me how good God is. And I said, well, I don't know about this here, brother. I'm just here for a meal. But guess what? It worked. And you know what, man? I got you on the show, and I'm glad you're here because, see, you was a part of that, too. You know the important it is to have a street ministry and have people sharing the gospel with you.
Yeah, you know, I learned it through an addiction I had. But anyway, you know, when I was out there like that.
Wait a minute. Before you do it, introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry so our listening audience will know who talking to them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we can get too carried away. Now, we ready to
that's
go.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, my name is Brother Eddie Doty, and the ministry that God had blessed me to be an overseer over is Red and White Ministry. And I help out in other ministry whenever opportunity arise. And I do part of a prison ministry, which is called Men of Honors, and we go to the Hughes Unit, which is in Gatesville, Texas. We go once a month, the first Saturday every month. And what amazed me now is that the lesson they're teaching now, learning now, is on love. And when you talk about love in prison, or you try to tell another brother in prison you love him, but they think it's something strange about you. So, but now they on this subject, love, and it's a wonderful, wonderful study. And they amazed me about the feedback I got. Their perspective of love, and there is love in prison. The media only paints the picture of the bad things in prison. They never paint the positive. It's always the negative. But those guys, they amazes me. And I just thank God for the opportunity to be a part of a ministry that's reaching out and helping other people.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about there, brother. And, you know, and you are no stranger to our program. You was on here some time ago, and I'm so glad that you're available to for an update on what's been going on with you. And now, and as you're doing your Ready Right ministry, now, how did that name come about?
Well, I was incarcerated for a while. And while I was there, I was walking with the Lord. I became a child of God. I became a godly man, a man who loved the Lord and loved the Lord Jesus Christ.
And, in prison.
In prison. And I was walking this walk in prison. Now, I wasn't the only one walking this walk.
Hey, man, that's what I want people to know, man. That ain't just that jailhouse religion, man. It started
like
there, but it goes abroad. I love that, brother.
Yeah, see, with me, what I learned from experience about jailhouse religion, there's no such thing.
No, there's no such thing.
People get saved in all type of situations or predicaments. You know, you can be divorced, you can lose of a job, you know, anything that they need some help and they can't seem to find in nowhere, then they hear about God or they turn to God.
You
and
get
that's
you
where
can say it
in come in at.
You get saved in the dope house. You sit
there
and you say, man, I don't need this, man, Jesus. You know, so I'm glad you said that, man. But we want to go ahead and tell them. I'm sorry I had to interject that, man, because some people just think that jailhouse religion is no religion, man. But I done seen it working effectively. I have a brother I met in jail, and now he's a part of our ministry team, man. And that brother is sold out for Jesus. I just had an interview a while ago with Brother Andrew. He said, hey, I was on the side of my bed, man, and I had a relationship with Jesus. And not only I got up, and I'm walking the boat, and now I'm on the corners preaching about Jesus. So Jesus can just save you right where you are.
Is that what I was going to say? I didn't get saved in prison. I got saved before I went to prison. I just did some foolish things, made some bad choices, got mixed up with the wrong crowd of peoples of the world and got carried away because I was a person of the world, you know, and just got mixed up, caught up, and made some bad choices, and I went to prison. But God chose me before the foundation of the world. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 1, that he chose me to live a holy life. See, God chose us way before we were ever conceived. So
yes,
when we make that choice to come and say, Christ, come into my heart and be my Savior, that's when we're ready to give up the world and start living for God. And so I gave up the world. I live for God.
Amen, amen.
I still get upset sometimes. And, you know, I'm not a perfect person, but I do know one thing. God has taught me to love my neighbor as I do myself. Man, as God put me on a mission, and I've been studying since October on this love, and I come to find out, well, I was so far short of having that love that God had for us. I just couldn't believe how I thought I really loved my brother, but there's so much to this love. It goes deep, man. It goes deep. And we have to love one another. And the scripture said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And some people might say, well, who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody that you have an opportunity to help. That's your neighbor.
Amen.
You find that
Amen.
In the Good Samaritan when Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan.
That is so true. I tell you what, we're going to take a moment here and we're going to share this line to call in. That number is 310-982-4126. And you too can join in the conversation and say hello to Eddie and make a comment on our previous guest. I want to comment on what Eddie is talking about. He said he's in a study period for a self-awareness talking about this. And that's what our Lord and Savior is. Jesus is love. And, you know, and he shared some powerful things. Brother, gonna stop here. We got Brother Daniels on the line here. He's gonna come in. He's our co-host, and he's just gonna say a few words, and we're gonna continue with the conversation. Brother Daniel.
Hello.
Good morning. We got Brother Eddie Doty on the line here. You want to say hello to him? And we're talking about ministry.
Yeah, let me talk to Brother Doty.
He's on the line now, but we're talking about ministry. Say,
what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Daniel? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right today.
I've been trying to reach you. I had no information on that question you asked me. I've been trying to reach you.
Oh, yeah. I'll be getting your texts, man. You be sending out.
Yeah. Well, you remember you asked me a question about women and preaching in the church. I'd like to catch up with you one day and we continue that conversation.
Yeah. Okay, we don't start no controversies right now on the.
Oh, no, it's not a country. It's just me and you. We're going to do that later.
Yeah. As the fallen preacher said just a while ago, you know, like, when you're out there on the street and you're preaching, what seems to be the most stronghold? That's what you call it. Stronghold. What stronghold do you see that's affecting our youth and everybody in this city of Dallas and all over the world? What stronghold do you see that's affecting people today?
Well, my opinion of that question is this, that peer pressure is a big stronghold. Peer pressure, especially on the young people. Now, in the adult world, strongholds could be things that you like doing. People like to drink. People like to have fun and have good times. Not all of it is bad. If you just go fishing every day in the week and don't take time out for the Lord, that's a stronghold, that fishing. Going fishing is a stronghold on your life. It's keeping you from seeing Christ.
Yeah. So what are you trying to say? Anything you put before God and you do more than you, everything that you do more, that you do studying the Word, and it could be a stronghold to hold you back from finding coming all together, right?
No, what I'm saying, anything you devote all your time to, you don't do time for God. All your time goes to what you like doing. Those are strongholds.
Yeah.
man. I understand. Yeah, that's the question here. Well, it seems like a lot of people got strongholds today, and they're not really applying and, you know, stuff like they really should. And that's their guard, right?
Yes, right. It's a stronghold sitting in the living room right now. I do pick up remote and turn it on. I sit there for hours when I could be devoting some time to the Lord, out passing out a track. I'm trying to minister somewhere, witness somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But I can sit there for hours and look at a movie or sports, and that becomes stronghold, brother, if we devote all our time to that. Some people love sports so much. I met a guy who was so deep into sports, they knew what elementary school the players went to. Now, that's deep. You studying deep when you studying on a sports player. So you devoting your time to do this to find out all this information about this person.
Mm. Yeah, it's all right. Well, that's an amazing question. That's an amazing thing to be, man. You know, how could you break these strongholds? Or what you think this person should do in order to break it?
You got to start devoting your time to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to devote your time to the word and prayer. You know, fellowship with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. See, that's why I have this ministry number. And by the way, the number is 214-299-1120. It's for fellowship. It's for prayer. If you need encouraging words, I have a text ministry that I text out encouraging words to people. The number, like I said, is 214-299-1120. Call, get hooked up, and you get an encouraging word from me on a daily basis, because I'm working for Jesus, not for me. My funds are funded by me and nobody else. You know, what I make, I put into the ministry. Into the ministry God has blessed me with. So I'm open. I'm here to love and to try to help and to point people to Christ.
Amen. God bless you. Now, Eddie, now how much involvement are you into the street ministry? I know at one time you was heavily involved. Are you still doing much street ministry?
I do a little bit of it right now. You know, like I have a job. You know, I work 5 days a week. And I wish I could just serve the Lord like I get up and go to work. Boy, how a blessing that would be to spend that's 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, just out ministering for Jesus, pointing people in His direction. And it's up to them to receive, to accept. We can't force them on. We can only tell them.
But yes, boy, I would so love, true.
All the time. That's what I would like to devote my time to doing. But I got to work in order to live and survive, really to pay bills, to have live comfortable, I put it like that. But
now, Brother Eddie, now, you know, we've been knowing each other for quite a while, man. And I thank God for you, man, because as I see how God is working in your life, it encouraged me. You know what I'm saying? Because I draw encouragement off of how God is blessing other people. But as you making that transition, man, because you was incarcerated for a long period of time, and as you made that transition, how can you encourage other men, whether they've been in there long or short, to continue to follow Jesus, man? Because sometimes people, they follow him for a while, and they fall off, and that's called backsliding. And you know, but you know, for those that stay strong in the Lord and know the power of His might, sometimes we are tempted to go back the other way. How can you encourage someone to stay strong in the Lord?
God showed me an example the day I got out of prison. I was still in Huntsville, Texas. Really, I wasn't even out a good 30 minutes. But God showed me an example how people can go back to the world so easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, you heard the rumors about when guys get out of Huntsville, they get locked back up and all this. I didn't see nothing like this, but this is what I saw. As I was going to the little place where you cash that check at, I come up on this guy. He was a Caucasian guy. He's standing on the sidewalk. He got a lit cigarette in each hand. I mean, he got two cigarettes. I seen him puff on one. He blew it out. Then I seen him raise the oven up and puffed on it and blew it out. So, you know, I'm looking like, wow, man, what is this guy doing? So I didn't say anything to him, but when I got up on him, you know what he told me? He said, man, I've been waiting 8 years for this. I said, that guy been waiting 8 years just to smoke 2 cigarettes? He's sitting in prison 8 years waiting to smoke a cigarette. Now, look at other things like beer, drugs, wild women. You know, I met a guy in prison like from Houston, got out, was going home. He never made it home before. He was back in jail with a new charge. Come back with a new sentence. He never got a chance to get home to see his mother. He got locked up in Houston the same night he got there and came back to prison. It's the stuff in the world and our love for the world and that stuff that, hey, I know guys sitting up there was tasting cold beer on them hot days. You know ain't no air conditioning in there. On them hot nights, yeah, so was having me a cold beer. But I'm going to get me a 12-pack when I get out. I heard all that stuff. I heard all that. You know what God blessed me with? I didn't have to go catch that bus. I didn't even know that. Some family members were picking me up. They was out there waiting on me when I got out. Bring me back home. I didn't have to go through all the other stuff those guys, they went through. I seen them with beer. You know, what they do is their business. But in order to be a person that can fit into society and be positive and a help, there's certain things we got to stay away from. That's the same type of stuff that caused us to get incarcerated. Why go back?
I'm glad to hear you say. I'm glad to hear that say that, man, because you need to separate yourself from a lot of the things that are negative and negative behavior. Because you know, and I see everything as a life teaching moment in Christ Jesus. You know, because as you saying that thing there, you know, sometimes you have to be separated because you are holy, so you have to separate yourself from those unclean things. And in society, I do a lot of juvenile ministry, man, and I try to tell our young men to be around people that have a positive influence on your life, someone that has a job, be around the other young men that have jobs, that have a future, that wants to go to school, that wants to go to the service or want to take up a trade or something. You know, you need to be around those people that have goals, be around adults that speak kindly of you, that encourage you. Because even today, man, we still have to guard ourselves, man. If I go around someone that's always speaking negative about situations and about outcome and no future, no plan, I find myself doing that. And same with you. We have to be around people of like mind and like heart, man, a like passion. Brother Eddie. Yeah. Man, our time is drawing near, man. We come to the end of this program. Brother, I want to thank you, man, for being a guest on the show here, brother.
Anytime,
you know, and it
brother,
always blows me away. I have you on my Rolodex. I see you Rolodex, y'all. I have you on my phone list. And I see your name from time to time, and it makes me smile, man, just not knowing how God has continued to bless you. And the same God that's blessing you is blessing me and all those that call on his holy name. So. And our show is called Free on the Inside, man. Share with our listening audience the freedom that God has given you to do the things that you do for Christ Jesus.
You know, I was set free, man, a long time ago. But when I came out, I said I had a choice to make. It was either the world or Jesus. And I chose Jesus. And that's the path I walk in the name of Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
I just walk
God
in the
bless
name
you.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
So, yeah, I want you to say hi to your mother and your other family members because I haven't seen her talking of them lately.
I sure will, man. I'm going to I talk to them on a daily basis, so I will say hello to them. And
right.
And we got Brother Daniels on here before we wrap this up. Brother Daniels. Yes, sir. We get ready to wrap this up. You like have a few words to edit before we get out of here, man? And it's been a great show. I love the two guests we had on here.
Yeah, all I want to tell Brother Eddie to stay strong, keep on doing what he's doing, and spread the word of Jesus Christ around the city of Dallas and the country and the whole world. So until that time when the word of God is all over the world, that's when Jesus is supposed to come back.
When
everybody in the world, all around the world, knows about Jesus, that means he's coming back. He's coming back.
He's coming back. He's coming back. He can be sure of that.
Yeah.
You know, brother Daniel, you know, we go way back too, way back. So,
yeah.
You know, I seen y'all know your family, you know. We all from the same little community right there.
Neighborhood, man. We all, you know, wake up in the morning looking at each other.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Dan Lewis, brother, Deacon Lewis, and I appreciate you allowing me to be on your show, man. I really do.
Oh, man, you know, you're a friend, man. You're a friend and you're a fellow laborer in the kingdom, man, and it's a joy. I always talk about the goodness of God. And, man, and the purpose of this show and the reason we come on here, to encourage other men and women to be strong in the Lord, man, because sometimes we feel like we're in this all by ourselves, man. Sometimes we feel like that we've been overwhelmed by the situation. But as the prophet was sitting up under the tree complaining, God said, wait a minute, I got 3,000 other people that do the same thing that you do. Ain't that about, you know? And so we want each of us to know from Los Angeles to New York to Philippines to Kenya, Africa, man, there's other people that are praising and worshiping God. And, you know, the same God that we serve is available for everyone. And, you know, Eddie, before we get out of here, it breaks my heart. I talk to people, and they say, I go this place, and I don't feel a presence of God. I go here, and I don't feel God. It ain't like my church. And I said, I got to think it. I do not want to be in one place where this God is. I want God to be available. If I move to New York, I want God to be in New York. You know what I'm saying? If I move to Timbuktu, I want God to be there. I don't want to say God is just isolated in South Dallas, in Bundtown, you know. And so what it is, because you have to know that God is there everywhere we go, man.
Yeah, we can't put him in a box. You know, it's amazing how God is. Because yesterday I shared the same type of information with a young coworker of mine. I was telling him that God is everywhere. You know, I was pointing in different directions. I said, I don't care where we go. God is
yes,
there.
He is. Yeah, man.
We can leave you him know. Here, but he's going to be where we going.
You know, I tell you what, man, you know, I do a ministry, and sometimes I'm in a place where Hispanics are, and I have an interpreter. And so I'll be sharing some words, and then I have to wait, and the interpreter share something, and then I share something, and then the interpreter, and it kind of blows me away, man, because here God is. He's speaking to people in a language that I don't know nothing of, but yet the same God is available for them also. So don't be telling
That's
me
right.
that you only feel God at your place, man. I know where God is down the street, too, you know. Brother,
I'm going to throw a scripture out there that I think everybody should take note to, and I think everybody should apply it. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show yourself approved. You have to read the scripture to get the rest. I'm going to stop it right now. But it says, study to show yourself approved. You got to study God's word to see what's in there for you. Because if you don't, you can go to church after church after church after church. If you don't have the power of the Spirit, if you don't have God's word in you, then you don't really know what they're talking about. Because I can get up there and tell you anything if you don't know this word.
Amen. That's what I'm saying.
The presence of God and his power is everywhere we go. We have to be open to this. God ain't going to force nothing on us, and he's not going to force us to do anything. That's why he gave us the spirit to choose which way we want to go in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
You're so right. I hear our music is coming on. We're getting ready to get on out of here. Brother, thank you,
okay.
Brother Dodie. Thank you for sharing. And thank you, Brother Daniel. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for being a guest on the show and all our listening audience. Our switchboard is filled up. We pray that you have been blessed by what you had heard. Brother Eddie, close us out in a word of prayer, man, and God bless you.
Okay, brother. Thank you for being allowing me to be here this morning, and God is good. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you once again for another opportunity to uplift your name and your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who came and died for our sin. For God of love that you is, that you sent your only begotten Son. And we can only learn to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, even more. Lord, what a blessing and what a peaceful world it would be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You have been listening to Free on the Inside. Until we meet again, be blessed in the Lord and in the power of might. Help change your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brothers.
God bless you.
Amen.
Free.